When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Good to be with you on a Tuesday. Payne and Pendergast, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. It is Tuesday. It is 7 o'clock thereabouts. And that means it's time for our Odyssey NFL Insider. Ross Tucker Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't really feel like Thanksgiving when you're working.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if we talked about this last week, but I legitimately cannot remember the last time I was home for Thanksgiving. I don't think my daughters ever remember me being around for Thanksgiving. This year, I was in San Jose, California, at San Jose State's practice, talking with players and coaches and watching them practice. It really is funny how you don't realize until you're in it. You know, people don't realize that there are no holidays for, like, football players or broadcasters. Just like, I mean, I was blown away. I remember my second year I was playing for the Cowboys, and they had signed me midway through the year. They picked me up off waivers when Washington cut me. And I'm on the phone with my wife, my girlfriend at the time, Christmas Eve, and I was going through the drive-thru at McDonald's for dinner. And she told her mom, and her mom thought that was the worst thing she had ever seen. Oh, my God, no.
Yeah.
But you just kind of get used to it. It is weird, though, because, like, Seth and I played in the Ivy League, Sean.
Yeah.
So I think guys that play, like, at A&M or whatever, they're also used to not having a normal Thanksgiving.
Right.
Or, like, you know, maybe their Christmas is affected. But in the Ivy League, your season ends the week before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So until I was 22, I had a normal Thanksgiving, a normal Christmas with my family, whatever. Then the next year I'm in the NFL, and it was just over. And it's been over ever since.
Yep. That's how it goes.
So, Ross, yeah, I often think of you kind of like John Candy at the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
A big trunk into the house.
Yeah, dragging a big trunk around to various college football games and just
selling shower curtain rings.
Oh, my gosh, Seth, I was up in your neck of the woods Sunday night. Holy cow. Western New York, Buffalo. So I did that San Jose State-Stanford game, took the red eye back, then I drive up to Buffalo – And because the snow is so bad, I did not want to drive the direct route from Pennsylvania to Buffalo. By the way, everybody.
Yeah, because you
got to
go through Susquehannock State Park. It's rough.
So I literally drove straight up to Rochester and then straight over. It was like a protractor. It was like I had a ruler. It was like two right angles. It was, you would never drive anywhere else that way like that, but I wanted to avoid the lake effect belt, and I wanted to stay on highways. So, Sean, you grew up in the Northeast. So you'll appreciate this. Texas people, this is going to blow your mind away, okay? Houston people. I'm not kidding. 15 minutes northeast of the stadium, not a single speck of snow.
That's what they were saying on the broadcast. Yeah, that's wild.
It is like the PR guy for the Bills, Derek Boyko, he texted me a picture of his house that morning. There was no snow. Meanwhile, you get to the stadium, and there's like 2 feet. Yeah. Even during the game, after the game, when I got back to my car, there was at least 6 inches on top of my car.
That's wild.
So thankfully, I had brought out everything, and I was all ready for it, and I'm using it to, you know, brush off my car, and then I'm white-knuckling the drive until I can get to the highway and get northeast of Orchard Park, the stadium. It's just, it's, the lake effect thing is the craziest thing ever.
So, Ross, as you were, you know, going around on Thanksgiving weekend, traveling and everything, where do you fall on this? Is Aziz Alshire the worst human being who ever lived, or is he the victim of a quarterback slide rule that basically handcuffs linebackers in the open field and doesn't give them any good options in a situation like that?
So I heard Rex Ryan say something yesterday, and this might be the first time I've ever like quoted Rex Ryan, but he says something I thought made a lot of sense. I'm not sure, like the way we're doing it with quarterbacks sliding feet first and then them having protection, I don't know that it's the best idea, because what happens is if you slide feet first, the thing that's highest off the ground is your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so like even if a guy tries to jump over you or tries at the last second to pull up, the only thing they're going to make contact with is your head. Because that's the last thing, that's the highest thing in the air. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is 6'6". So I guess what I would say is this. I think if they want to afford quarterbacks protection, these guys have to slide earlier. And what I would say is, I don't even think I would teach it anymore. I think I would just have these guys dive forward. Because if you dive forward at the guy's feet, you know, then they can't hit you in the head. And then they'll just tap you down. And by the way, you'll get more yards that way, because they start, when you start the slide, that's where they mark you down.
I think, Ross,
stop sliding feet first.
That's the other problem, though. They don't, the way they phrase it isn't the way they call it. They actually mark it where the first body part hits. So that's another part of it, is that these guys are incentivized to kind of slide for distance. So Trevor Lawrence started that slide about 4 or 5 yards before the first down marker. His shin hits the ground 1 yard before the first the line to gain. And it's, I mean, that's all, we're talking rules and regs here. But I do,
Let me say this about Alshire.
Yeah,
that was bad, you know, and I like that he's a physical player, and I did a lot of things as a player in college in the NFL that other guys thought was dirty. I definitely played on the edge because I had to, because I wasn't really that good, right? I am not a big believer in saying a lot of things that happen inside the white lines are dirty. Now, if it's outside the white line on the sideline, or if it's way late, that's a little bit different. I thought his was bad, but this happens too much now. You know, his looked particularly bad, but I'll also say to everybody watching it, you know, things happen so much faster when you're actually out there than they are when you're watching on TV. Why do you think the refs get so many calls wrong? Because it's happening a lot faster if you're actually out there than when we're all sitting here on the TV and we watch it five times on replay.
Right. The one thing I wonder about, though, Ross, and this is where I think Pat Mahomes has taken a lot of heat in this situation, because Pat Mahomes is one of the worst at faking the slide or looking like he's about to slide. I'm watching a clip of the Lions right now where he looks almost exactly like Trevor Lawrence did when Trevor Lawrence started his slide. And then he pops back up and runs for a first down as a safety or a linebacker, basically like stands straight up and tries to arm tackle him. The quarterback's ought to get fined for that. They're doing as much harm to Pat Mahomes may as well have concussed Trevor Lawrence as Aziz Elshire did, because there's a precedent that these guys can fake a slide and they get away with it.
Well, it's supposed to be illegal to fake a slide. Remember Kenny Pickett did that in the ACC championship game a couple years ago in college?
Yeah.
And they instituted that. Like, it's the Kenny Pickett rule. I've talked to him about it. It's like pretty – I said, dude, how long have you been working on that? He's like, never. It just happened. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just about to slide. He was about to slide against Clemson or whoever it was. And they, like, a couple of guys pulled up. She's like, all right, I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
You know? So they have to penalize fake slides significantly. You know what they have done this year? I don't know if you guys have noticed. They're very clear that until you touch the white line, you're in bounds.
Yes.
Like guys are getting blasted on the sideline, because back in the day, guys would pull up when they got near there. Now it's like, no. Until you touch the white, you're in, and they can kill you.
Well,
to be clear, they've banned the fake slide in college, but not in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it's still, Mahomes can do it all he wants.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and to your point about the just inside the white lines, Ross, Aziz Elshire has that video floating around now. He was one of the principal guys doing that earlier this year to Caleb Williams back on Sunday Night Football. He blasted Caleb Williams into the Bears bench, but Caleb was still 2 inches inside the white line. That's what we're wondering is all this stuff.
And guess what?
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. That's legal.
Yes.
That's the rule. And if you don't want to get master blasted like that,
get out
of bounds early.
I agree. I totally agree.
I think there's a lot. So we can't have it both ways, where we're trying to protect the quarterbacks, and for good reason, but then those guys are taking the protections too far.
Yes.
It's like anything with your kids, right? They're going to take it as far as they can. It can't be that way.
Right. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, grocery store. Add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Ross, as far as the Texans go, independent of the Elshire situation, they're heading into their bye week here. What should the to-do list look like for the Texans here during the bye week? This is obviously still a team, despite the win against Jacksonville, that has several flaws as they head into a really, really difficult chunk of schedule, 3 games in 11 days against Miami, Kansas City, and Baltimore.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't really know. I mean, I don't know what they can do. I think I would like to see them be better on early down and distance. Obviously, we're still looking to have the offensive line continue to come together. I will say this. That's been a long haul for those guys, man. They played in the Hall of Fame game, right?
Mm-hmm. They did, yeah. It's the longest haul. Well, yeah.
None of those guys did, but they were there. Yeah.
That is awful. I mean, that is honestly as long as you can possibly have a stretch as an NFL player. To play in the Hall of Fame game and then have the very last bye, I think that'll really help them. I think those guys will come out refreshed. And then the big thing for the Texans is really just at that point, it's the self-scout. Like, why are they giving up these big plays all of a sudden, right? You know, if Mac Jones doesn't miss Brian Thomas wide open on the deep post, he missed Brian Thomas a couple times, Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, why are the Texans giving up these big plays down the field or having guys wide open like the Titans game and like the Jaguars game. These are not good football teams. They're getting guys wide open down the field. And then also, you know, they need to continue to figure out how to make things better, easier, you know, for the offensive line. And I think, you know, there's still way too many third and long. So I'll be really curious. I'm sure they'll be very intentional about their, you know, about their self-scout. And I'll be curious to see what changes they make. Listen, the Eagles had the first bye. It was week five. Mm-hmm. They haven't lost since. They were 2-2. They decided we're going to run the crap out of the ball. We're going to put Cooper DeJean at nickel and play nickel the whole time. And they haven't lost since, and they might be the best team in football. They've been, like, unbelievable. So the bye week can very much be a big boost.
Ross Tucker is our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Where are you this weekend, Ross? Ross, you
kind of lost you guys there for a second.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, talking with you.
That's okay. No, good. I just got in our Mayo Game Day Be Delicious read, and I asked you where you're going to be this weekend. What games are you?
That's probably it for Ross. Good for him. He's got to go enjoy his Thanksgiving.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. Thanksgiving.
Honestly,
5 days later for Ross.
The fact that there's no this seems like they could have remedied this last offseason. Make the fake slide illegal. And it's as simple as that. And just because linebackers don't have ESP. Linebackers can't read the mind of the quarterback. There's just too many instances of Pat Mahomes like looking like he's totally going to slide and then stumbling or rumbling forward for another few yards. Pat Mahomes is the villain here.
I agree.
You guys can set aside your Azeez Alshire hate and zero in on the true villain, Pat Mahomes. He may as well have taken a rubber mallet and smacked Trevor Lawrence upside the head with it.
It's lame. Yep. That is lame to do. Like, you're being given a privilege by the league. You are protected by the league, and you're taking advantage of that protection by faking sliding and then going and getting 20 more yards.
It's like a 15-year-old talking smack to an adult knowing that he can't. That he's not going to get punched. You know, like,
right.
I'm just a 15-year-old that knows that is like challenging you to a fight, and he knows there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
So he's going to just get in all his shots. Little rich kid.
Yep.
Little fancy trust fund kid.
Indeed.
Trevor Lawrence with his pretty golden flowing locks just cannot be touched. So he's just going to kind of stutter step his way into a slide, try to get all the way up to the first down marker. Nonsense.
I think that's the biggest problem. I think they got to find a way to legislate that out of the game, the fake slide. And I didn't know that they'd done that at the collegiate level. That's really interesting. Have we seen it called? I would love to see what that looked like in the fan base that has it called on them. Like, their quarterback getting called for a fake slide. Like, how do you know he was fake sliding?
The thing in the NFL, it would be easier because of the fines. So you could, I mean, honestly, realistically, you fake a slide as a quarterback, you should get suspended a game. Because you're contributing to the problem.
Ooh,
you know, like, you're really.
That's a hot take right there.
Yeah, you're just as much of a problem as anybody else.
Yeah.
At least when a quarterback throws a murder ball over the middle, a suicide ball, like, at least then it's very real. Okay, you're responsible for hurting your own team there because now your receiver's brain is turned to mush.
Right.
With a quarterback faking a slide, there's no penalty for it. It needs to be just as severe as Azeez Alshire's probable punishment.
I agree. All right, so here's how it's going to go. Normally at 8:00, we would do the Pettycast. We would get petty. We'd highlight a lot, and it's very college heavy this weekend. Not sure if you noticed, ton of pettiness going on around the world of college football this past weekend. We normally do it at 8:00. However, 8:00 today, we will be joined by Case Keenum. So he's going to join us at 8:00. So we'll do the Pettycast right now. Why not? Let's get into some of the things that happened over the weekend. Super petty. And probably the biggest thing, Seth, this flag planting epidemic during rivalry week in college football. And now we've seen flag planting before. Baker Mayfield, probably he's the genesis of the whole thing back in, I'm sure it was done back in the 70s, 80s, 60s, and things like that. But Baker Mayfield, the most visible one doing it back in the day. We'll get to Baker here in just a second. When he planted the flag on the O when they beat Ohio State back in, I think it was 2017. But Michigan, Ohio State, probably these are all the examples of flag planting causing some sort of issue on the field. Michigan, Ohio State was the big one. That involved cops coming out there with pepper spray. The visual of Michigan players rubbing their eyes because of the pepper spray that was being administered by the cops there. Jack Sawyer of Ohio State stealing the Michigan flag from the players and then just running away and throwing it away. Jack Sawyer, a linebacker for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ryan Day is catching a lot of heat up in Ohio because of his complete lack of activity during that whole dust up at midfield. If you saw that game, Ryan Day was standing a good 20 to 30 yards away from the whole thing, just staring at it like a bystander. He's not in there trying to break it up. He's not saying anything. He's just got this blank stare on his face that, quite honestly, I know that stare. That's the stare of somebody who just lost to a 20-point underdog at home in a rivalry game.
He was going through some stuff. He was having that moment like, oh, this is how this all unfolds, I guess. Look, D'Amico, okay, D'Amico and trying to quell the melee after the Aziz Alshire incident. Of all people who could have kind of given the whole, hey, the sun is going down, big fella speech to Aziz Alshire, D'Amico would be that guy. Yeah. D'Amico was completely ineffective there. I think that Ryan Day, maybe as a guy who's been a head coach longer than D'Amico, might have realized, like, I'll let the authorities take care of this. What am I going to do? All I'm going to do is make myself look less effective as a leader by jumping in and trying to stop something that I know I can't personally stop.
Or someone told him there was pepper spray. He's like, oh, screw that. I'll let them pepper spray everybody else.
My face is red enough already.
But the NC State North Carolina game, same thing happened. Florida State and Florida, same thing. Flag planting, brawl. Arizona State and Arizona, same deal. Except instead of planting a flag, Arizona State planted the trident that they have, you know, for the Sun Devil, and that was a little uncomfortable watching an Arizona player come up, take the trident out of the ground, and now you've got two players struggling over an apparatus that has four sharp points at the end of it. Like, oh, what could possibly go wrong here? Two guys struggling over a trident in a crowd full of human beings. So Texas wanted to go do some stuff on the A&M logo after that game was over, but Steve Sarkisian came over and pulled them away, said, guys, we're not doing this. Did you watch the games earlier today? Here's my pettiness in all this. Gus Johnson, Fox announcer, play-by-play guy on the Michigan-Ohio State game. Let me lay it out here. Gus Johnson getting uptight and getting upset about the dust-up between the two teams.
Something interesting is going on the field right now. Michigan tried to plant their flag in the middle of the Ohio State field, and the Buckeyes rushed right to them. And now there's some skirmishes going on the field. An unsportsmanlike gesture by the Wolverines. Unnecessary. They've won the game. No need to be disrespectful.
Okay, it takes two to tango, first of all. Like, Ohio State is part of this fight as well. He's going after Michigan for planting the flag. Two things here. One, why are we so uptight about planting a flag on a logo? It's not like he's planting it in the middle of the opposing coach's chest or something like that. That's number one. Mm. Number two, Gus Johnson, and Joel Klatt was doing this on the broadcast too. Like, nobody needs to see this. Hell yeah, I need to see this. This is entertaining as hell. The two teams going at it in the center of the field. I love this. Don't speak for me, Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt. This is awesome now.
I go, you know it all though, Sean. I can't excuse the planting of the flag on the logo. I feel like that's selectively acting like humans don't do a bunch of stuff that has symbolic meaning that's larger than, when do we get to care about the symbols that we usually care about? Is it only, you're not allowed to care about the symbol at the center of your football field after you lose a football game? Like, Michigan knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a sportsman-like activity. It's not like the jubilation of the moment or something. You're specifically going out and trying to just stomp on their logo in the middle of their field. So I don't like the flag planting.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
No. I think it's bogus. I think it's Bush League.
Do you?
I really do. I don't like it. I've never liked it.
I kind of like it just because it's...
I honestly feel like you should be allowed to plant the flag, but you're going to get beat up for it and there's no repercussions.
Oh, I'm cool
it's
with
a,
that
it's
too.
It's the fighting words doctrine.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, they're just... If you go up and you tell somebody to his face, you know, that your dead mother's a whore or something like that... Yeah. You lose some legal protections in the fight that inevitably comes after that.
Yes.
Likewise, okay, if you plant the flag, all right, if your cars all get keyed in the lock, if the bus gets firebombed, you're not allowed to sue.
Cool. I'm here for all of it. Like, I'm just here for the conflict. Great. I like that. Yeah, you know, there should be a rule, though. If you're a 20-point underdog or more and you win in a rivalry game on
then
the opposing field,
the
then
flag.
You get to plant the flag. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there should be a rule. I mean, we're embracing gambling. Why not use it as some sort of barometer for whether or not you get to symbolically plant a flag in the middle of the field? So anyways, a lot of people uptight about that. Baker Mayfield was actually asked about this in his Tampa Bay Buccaneers press conference after his game against, who they play, Carolina this week. The reporter said, hey, man, you're the flag-planting OG. Where you come out on all this?
Many kind of consider you the OG when it comes to flag planting. What was your reaction to a lot of the flag planting we saw yesterday, and I guess maybe some of the pushback to that flag planting yesterday?
There were like four, weren't there?
You know, I'll say this. That OU Texas does it every time they play. It's not anything special. You take your L and you move on. I'll leave it at that.
Baker, would it be a mistake for the NCAA to outlaw that?
College football is meant to have rivalries. It's like the Big 12 banning the horns down signal. Just let the boys play.
Yeah, let the boys play. I'm with Baker Mayfield. Now, this I will, and this is a petty cast, so maybe I'm getting a little petty here. Using the OU-UT game as some sort of barometer for flag planting, that's a neutral site game. That game is played at the Cotton Bowl every year. So that's not... Mm-hmm. Baker beating UT in the Red River rivalry and planting the flag. He's not planting it on the Longhorn logo at midfield in Austin. He's planting it in Dallas. So that's it's not a great comparison right there.
Right. Yeah. You're pro flag planting. I'm anti flag.
I'm pro anything that starts fights like we saw this weekend, man. Yeah. By the way, the last bit of logo talk here, and then we'll get to the next thing in the pettycast. The South Carolina Gamecock mascot. It's a little chicken. They were walking it before the Clemson South Carolina game, or at least during it. Maybe took a dump right there on the tiger paw at midfield.
Okay.
You can't really control that. Birds can't control their bowels. I don't think they took it out there and said, "Okay, cocky, go ahead."
Yeah,
and poop.
No, yeah, that's and it's bird poop. It's like there's how much other bird poop is out there on that field right that moment.
Good point.
It's not a big deal. Yep. It's bird poop.
All right, next
you get some on your jacket. You clean it off later on. Yeah,
hey, you get pooped on by a bird. It's supposedly good
now,
luck.
Now, if they had trained it to poop on command, that's a whole different
story. Yeah, different story. So a lot of college football in the pettycast today. We're doing the pettycast early because Case Keenum's joining us in about a half hour. He's joining us at 8 o'clock today on the show. James Franklin, the head coach at Penn State, not usually a big fan of James Franklin myself here. I've been very critical of James Franklin this year and some of the ways he's handled press conferences and things like that. I thought this was a fantastic answer. Apparently, the handshake between James Franklin and Maryland coach Mike Locksley after the game on Saturday was very frosty because Penn State scored a late touchdown in that game, and Mike Locksley did not like that, thought they were running the score up. I thought this was a great answer from James Franklin about that cold handshake between him and Locksley.
Yeah, I get it, right? At the end of the game, we throw a touchdown. I get it. But a couple things I will say. My job is to put the threes and fours in the game. But when the threes and fours get to go in the game, they get to play football. Those guys deserve to play football. Your ones are in the game. You were trying to score. We're trying to score. On top of that, you're playing cover zero. If you don't want, play cover two. So I'm good with it. And on top of that, there's also a change in college football. We are trying to play as long as we can, make the playoffs, and be seeded as high as possible. And scoring as many points and a point differential matters. All that matters. And if you don't get that, it's really not my problem. So, 1-0, I'm good with it. Anybody that's not, that's their problem.
It's a fantastic answer. He's absolutely right. People that complain or get salty when the score is run up on them, look in the mirror, man.
Don't bring your youth league sentiment to my college or NFL football game.
Yeah.
High school, I would say same thing, man. You're dealing with kids. But especially now in college football, where these guys are paid professionals.
Yes.
I don't care how old they are. They are legal adults who are paid professionals.
Yep.
And if you don't like having the score run up on you, then freaking stop them.
Yes.
Yeah, don't try to, like, what are you trying to do? Salvage some dignity by whining after the game?
Right.
No. Look to yourself first. I'm with you, James Franklin.
I am too. I thought that's two great points, man. I got to let my threes and fours play football also. They're not just going to hand the ball off the whole time. And I love that a coach is acknowledging that, hey, yeah, man, sometimes we need to score extra touchdowns in the fourth quarter because it's a selection committee who, let's face it, most of them are probably just looking at final scores. They're not watching every game. Look at the people on that committee, and you tell me, are these people sitting down in a room with, some of them might be, but not all of them. A lot of them are looking at final scores of games, and sometimes you need to run up the score. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about it, Mike Locksley. All right, this is going to be me getting petty a little bit here, but I think it's also the subject of this audio we're about to play. Brian Kelly can be a very petty human being. The LSU football head coach who was formerly the head coach at my alma mater. He did a press conference following their win over Oklahoma, and for him it's press conference. We'll see where they go to a bowl game. LSU finished the season 8-4. People are up in arms in Baton Rouge over that. They're not big Brian Kelly fans right now, but Brian Kelly is telling everybody he's keeping receipts.
Whatever camp you want to jump into, go right ahead. You know, we had 5 freshmen and 2 sophomores on defense today, playing their tails off. So, you know, again, we're taking receipts and, you know, we'll see you at the national championship.
Ooh, so okay. We're taking receipts. We'll see you at the national championship. There was a follow-up question to this from a reporter. Said, what exactly do you mean by we'll see you at the national championship?
You said see you at the national championship. You're talking about like next year or near future or what?
What do you think? What do you think? Listen. Here's my point. The standard is the standard here, right? The standard, I didn't come down here to go 8-4. I'm not happy about 8-4, okay? Nobody in that room is happy about being 8-4. What they're happy about is they've played well after a 3-game losing streak, and they bounce back. And this game teaches you lessons about grit and toughness and perseverance and not giving up and letting go of the rope, right? They easily could have fractured, right? Instead, they stuck together and they stayed committed and they beat 2 teams that were really good football teams in this league.
Okay, well, yeah, slow down. You beat Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, both of whom are 6-6. So
we'll see. Boy, I'll tell you what, that was an all-time. I wonder if he realized that as he said it, like, crap.
Seth.
As soon as he said, we'll see you at the national championship game. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, you know, you're talking big and everything, and then
You mean like Brian Kelly at his introduction back when he was signed on as the LSU coach?
And I haven't even won all my games yet.
Yeah, you still haven't, dude.
Yeah.
You still haven't won all your games yet. He knows that we keep receipts too out here as well. You know, we can all keep our receipts.
We were doing one-on-one pass rush. Where was it? This was the Texans early on. I can't remember which player it was. A defensive lineman got into it with the offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. Like, started jawing back and forth, yelling at each other and everything. And we're pulling this defensive lineman. I remember who it is. I just don't want to put his name out there. We're pulling this guy away. And he had been ripping into this all. He was getting some good shots in. And then he goes, and then he yells, yeah, it's all fun and games until someone starts laughing. And we're like, all right, I guess that's a point to make, I guess. All right. Come on, man. Let's get you out of here. You had a good thing going.
Yeah.
You'd really shut the old man up until, I don't know what the hell that is.
It's all fun and games till someone
starts laughing, yeah. Until somebody does something that would be a continuation of the fun in games.
Was it Jameis Winston? Was no. It feels like something Jameis would say.
I was never a teammate of Jameis Winston.
Oh, you wish you could have been.
I don't know if you knew that, Sean. I must be older than you think. Been a
teammate of Jameis Winston's. So Brian Kelly, petty, and me a little petty too towards Brian Kelly. Last one here. We're doing an early petty cast here. Case Keenum joins us top of the hour. Lamar Jackson's mom did not think she would make an appearance in the petty cast ever, but apparently she's not happy with her son's performance against the Eagles on Sunday.
I feel like there were some opportunities to run today for you that you may have passed up.
Yeah, my mama just told me that. She just cussed me out, so like I'm mad. So like we gonna get after it, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. We gonna get after it. I can't wait to this bye get on. Like we got the Giants coming up. I'm ready to go. Like I'm just ready to go, man.
So what did she cuss you out about?
She said it was lanes I should have took. I ran, but you know I was just trying to let guys develop routes. We had developing routes. And I was just trying to go through my progression. But yeah, she right. I'm gonna do my like. I ain't I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this. I'm just mad because I feel like we should win these games and we not getting them done.
Yeah, they're 8-5 right now. They have the same record as the Texans.
It's the Ravens same. Well, too. And these are some of the same concerns that bubbled up last year with Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator. Lamar didn't have any designed runs in that game, which is interesting. All of his runs were on scrambles or broken plays. So that was that down the stretch last year, there was kind of a dynamic where, okay, they need to balance the run, the QB run, the passing game more. And credit the Eagles defense and Vic Fangio. They specifically went into that game saying, we're going to load the line of scrimmage. We're going to take away the run. And we'll take our chances with your wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ravens still don't have top-notch wide receivers as a group. So that's where the Texans game versus the Ravens gets interesting. Man, the biggest threats are probably still Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson's legs.
Yes.
And how that sets up the passing game. And you gotta roll the dice a little bit and pick one, I think. Right. And D'Amico's done a pretty good job of that, of selectively dialing up blitzes, selectively figuring out when to play more aggressive. A lot of it just hinges on can Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter hold up in man coverage enough to allow you to do all that other stuff.
The goal is to get Lamar Jackson's mom really angry after the game on Christmas Day. They can shut down Lamar Jackson. We want her to be as angry on Christmas as she was on Sunday after the Eagles game with the Ravens.
I don't want to ruin Miss Jackson's Christmas completely.
Petty cast.
Well, I know, but she's also like, I think she's like his main contract advisor.
She is,
right?
Yeah,
and he ended up getting a pretty damn good contract against the skepticism of many, many others, myself included.
Yeah, no, yes. It would have been.
So I don't know if I want to trifle with her too much. She'll come after me.
It would have been funnier if she was angry like this before he had signed the big extension, and she's like,
yeah,
we're never going to get this big extension if you don't start running the ball more.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he had brought that up.
Great.
You know, my mom's got incentives in her contract that are hinging on my performance.
Right.
And yeah, yeah.
Okay, I know we got to get out, but I got to read this text. 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of sports radio, 610 and football super fans. Sean, this is regarding the flag planting.
Mm-hmm.
Many stadiums are memorial stadiums. Showing Ooh. Disrespect has a bigger meaning in those cases. Mm. I see the flag planting as disrespecting a grave site.
Ooh, dang.
Wow.
That's taking it another level. Boy, you are a jerk, Sean.
I know.
Why don't you have some morality to you for once in your life?
I know.
Just
am I the biggest jerk? Is it Aziz Alshire's hit is the worst hit in the history of football, and I'm the biggest jerk on talk radio because I want flag planting to be legitimized.
You basically just peed all over our country and anybody who's ever given their life for a cause.
And
Sean,
every memorial stadium across the great old country of the US of A, yes.
The problem is that a lot of these memorial stadiums are also named after a huge, huge corporation too. So it's like, okay, does that balance each other out? I don't know.
Yeah. I see you as disrespecting corporate America. Okay. Okay. All right, D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. D'Amico on his star player. Boy, do we agree with D'Amico? Is this guy the best? We will have that and a whole lot more. Case Keenum joins us, top of the hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
There.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, there were topics other than Aziz Alshire's hit on Trevor Lawrence at D'Amico Ryan's press conference yesterday. How is it having Nico Collins back, D'Amico?
He's been our best player, you know, on offense. When he's out there, it's, you know, teams have to account for him, whether that's putting two guys on him to open up other things underneath. But Nico, even if guys are accounting for him, he can still make plays. And I'm just so impressed with, it's not just the deep passes, it's just, I mean, giving him the screen and getting the ball in his hands and seeing how physical he runs the ball, how he finishes. He's always gaining positive yards, and he's always doing it with a big smile. He enjoys playing the game of football. His teammates feed off of him. It just brings great energy every single day. And I'm a huge fan of Nico and what he's done. He's been one of the best receivers in the league this year.
I'm not saying Nico Collins is Andre Johnson, but to this offense, he is their Andre Johnson. Mm-hmm. Like, he is, like, when everything's breaking down, he's the guy that CJ's looking for. He gets open all the time, sometimes inexplicably open. Like, how is that guy so open? You know, sometimes guy falls down. Sometimes he's able to find a soft spot there. He catches at every level of the route tree. He's big and strong. They give it to you, throw those missile screens, and you go, wow, this thing's going to get stuffed. And next thing you know, it's 2nd and 2 because he got 8 yards out of it, out of a play that should have gone nowhere. I agree with D'Amico Ryans. Nico Collins has been their best player on offense this year.
One of the questions, I don't know, I couldn't hear the question literally how it was phrased, but in the transcript after the game, somebody asked CJ Stroud if he's finding his chemistry with Nico again. And I felt like it was a strange question because the chemistry's been there. Nico would have had to over a couple hundred yards receiving in his last two games if he hadn't had huge touchdown receptions called back by penalty. And there were penalties that didn't really affect the actual course of the play. So I think the chemistry was right there from the get-go. Right from the very beginning, 2 weeks ago, screened a the
very first
a
play.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
First play. Like, everything that you've ever wanted or come to expect from Nico. Nico Collins is like George Springer as a leadoff hitter. You're kind of like, you got to get into the park early because there's a good chance that George Springer is going to get a leadoff home run or a first pitch home run.
I like that.
Likewise with Nico, there's a really good chance that he's going to have a deep strike on the either the first play or in the first series.
Yeah, it's Nico's the only receiver in the league averaging over 100 yards per game right now. He's having an incredible season. Even having missed five games, I still feel comfortable saying he's having an incredible season, Nico Collins.
I think he probably would have averaged over 100 yards per game if he had played those five
without
games.
Without question.
I mean, it's just he's that. Even early on when teams were just playing extreme cover two all the time and everything, Nico was immune to it, really.
His last play before he went on IR was a 67-yard touchdown. His first play back from IR was a should-have-been 77-yard touchdown. So, yeah, I think he would have averaged over 100 yards on those games, those ones in between those two really long plays, yes.
I'll tell you another thing, too. One of our listeners, Michael Moss, had pointed this out. You know, he talked about the absence of Stephon Diggs, and it's weird. I'm guilty of this. Like, the Stephon Diggs experience almost seems like a fever dream.
Yes.
From long ago.
Yeah.
And because the promise of, oh, 3 1,000-yard receivers or whatever, you know, the thoughts or the, you know, tantalizing ourselves with all of mm-hmm. that, I think there was probably an underestimation on just how much Stephon Diggs was contributing. And that now, if you'd gotten to this point and that maybe they're making some real progress in the run game. I don't know. But having Stephon Diggs out there for, let's say, 2 weeks ago when CJ's not on the same page as John Metchie.
Yeah.
You know, if Stephon Diggs is getting targeted in that situation, is that a reception and
probably.
Not an interception?
Yeah.
I think there's probably a lot of instances like that.
Yep, no question. Speaking of CJ Stroud, here is D'Amico Ryans. How has CJ Stroud's season been so far?
I'm really impressed with CJ and just his operation and the way he led us on yesterday. A lot of routes and things that weren't there, but for him to progress and get to the check down on certain routes, just making really great decisions with the ball. His connection with Nico has been very impressive. And then just yesterday, just him on third down, getting the ball to Dalton and Dalton converting for a first down, just making those, right, those plays we talk about playing on time, playing on schedule, and taking what the defense gives us, just seeing him operate in that manner, that fashion even more, just shows, you know, how our offense can be more efficient when we're operating that way. And it all starts at the top with CJ. And when he's leading, he's playing the way that he's playing, like our entire team feeds off of him. So I'm excited for his second year. I think he's shown a ton of growth. He's in a really great spot for us, physically, mentally, like really love where he is. And I'm excited to see how he comes back after the break.
I wonder with CJ, like if CJ is kind of a microcosm of how we're feeling about the Texans overall, Seth, like
yeah.
You and I have talked about like, okay, what if they don't win that game in Indy and they go 9-8 and they miss the playoffs? I think there's a whole lot less anxiety over this team this year being 8-5 and being very up and down. If they hadn't made the postseason last year and won a playoff game and gone 10-7, and
right.
That was the beginning of the fuel to the expectations. If it were a non-playoff team, I think there'd be some excitement about actually virtually having secured a playoff spot 13 weeks into the season. I think similarly, had CJ Stroud not had the greatest rookie season by a quarterback in the last 20 or 25 years, this feels like a pretty normal, like, second-year quarterback kind of year. You know what I mean?
This is the biggest thing and the most promising thing I'd take from the Jaguars game is this. The Texans have been really bad on first down for the course of the season. Second, they were the second worst in the league in terms of having negative plays on first down,
yeah.
Plays that go for a loss. Or maybe your maybe an offensive lineman has an illegal procedure.
That sounds right. Yes.
So where you look at Pat Mahomes and the year he's having, one of the huge differences is that the Chiefs have simply been better on first and second down. So they've had more third and threes. So Mahomes' numbers don't look great this year. But as an offense in total, They've been more methodical and in how they move the ball. They've been more successful on a down by down basis. And Mahomes and CJ have similar numbers in a lot of regards, but it's easier to excuse Mahomes for everything I just talked about, but also because of their track record,
mm-hmm.
obviously,
mm-hmm.
and everything he's done. I think the biggest thing with CJ this year is that in the Jags game, they were successful. They were way more successful on first down, which puts you in third and makeable situations, or it's not as, you know, you're not as tempted to hold on to the ball too long, all of that. And some of that comes back to the run game. Some of it comes back to CJ making smarter and safer decisions on first down. So that's where the maturation of the quarterback, I think, ultimately in the long run, this is going to be a really good thing for CJ.
I agree.
I'm glad that he's going through this now. We'll see how it plays out for the rest of the season, but I think he's had to learn some hard lessons about game management, like when to take the easy money, especially on first down, especially on second down. That's the part where it's, he already knew it academically, but I think this year he's having it kind of pounded into his DNA.
Yep.
That you got to operate a certain way.
Text message to the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Sean, your take on flag planting is terrible. The fact that you want to see an action take place that incites violence tells me you're a person that's never been in violent situations before. That's fair.
I don't know, man. I feel like Aziz Alshire has been in some violent situations before, and he's not afraid of violence.
Yeah.
Football violence.
Yeah. Well, but as far as me being someone that's entertained by the violence of others, and I've never been in a situation like that. Like, yes, I've never played. I'll take this to another degree. Like, right, I never played professional football. I'm highly entertained when football players get into fights and hit each other really hard.
This is good, Sean. We're kind of drawing a line in the sand in a lot of ways. You're angering some of our listeners who might just question your actual core personality.
Right.
And me, I think for some people, like, there's a my divorce from Jacksonville is 100% complete this week. Like, in terms of, I've always been here. Like, this is where I do
You're
my
Houston
work.
Houston guy, yeah.
There are a lot of Jaguars fans who despise me now, who used to kind of give me a pass on certain smack talk.
No passes anymore.
But me blaming Trevor Lawrence for that hit, they're not happy. I'm not a popular person in Jacksonville right now.
That's the tipping point. Hey, Case Keenum, Texans quarterback, going to join us in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. We'll talk to Case about CJ's season that he's had so far. What are his thoughts on CJ Stroud? Spends a ton of time with him. I'm looking forward to hearing what Case Keenum has to say. So stay there for that.